1 Corinthians 15, we're going to start at the top. Verse number 1. It says there, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also you're saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas," now that's Simon Peter, "then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." And we'll stop there for a word of prayer. Father, I thank you this morning for a chance to stand up, and if there's any of this that is unclear in somebody's mind, if there's any question of how in a crazy world that seems to be falling apart around us, we should have, what kind of mindset we should have, what kind of thoughts we should have regarding those things. I pray that you'd give us some light here today. Father, we are called to know how we are supposed to be, whether the world knows or not. You've given us the light of the Word of God, the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray, Father, as we preach about the grace of God this morning, that you'd help us to be able to see that it's much more than just some divinely bestowed good luck. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so you find down in reading verse 9, "For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." Now, three times in verse 10, you have the grace of God mentioned. And that's going to be the subject this morning. I need to address this for just a little while, for both saved and unsaved, because if you're unsaved and have been around religious folks for a long time, maybe you were raised Lutheran or Catholic, you would have heard a lot of stuff about grace. And if you're saved, then you've heard a lot of things about grace. But even among the saved, sometimes there's some things that are a little misunderstood and I think not really well grasped, I guess you'd say. If you're, like I said, a religious background, a ritualistic Catholic or Lutheran background, you probably think that grace is connected with infant baptism or the sacraments or confirmation or some such thing like that. And otherwise, even if you're a Christian, you may have a tendency to think that grace is just this, like I said, this heavenly bestowal of divine good luck. And it's not that. It may resemble it in some ways, but I would like to make sure that we're clear on those things. This is not just cold theology. I'll tell you right now that it goes right into things that have happened in the last year in South Minneapolis, Brooklyn Center, Seattle, Portland, and I'm not preaching about politics this morning. I'm not even preaching about current affairs. It's not that. It has to do with knowing what the Bible says and being able to think correctly about what's happening around us during perilous times. And so that's where we are. I'll just say this right up front, and I don't have any recoil in this at all. The world never gets it right. Just know that. Whatever the world reports, that's not going to be the right scoop. There may be elements of truth to it. Maybe. Sometimes. Occasionally. Once in a while. Once in an eon. But believe me, it's not. It's never the way the world perceives it. And it's never the way the world reports it. That goes for science. That goes for a philosophy. That goes for a whole lot of things. Now, the grace of God. I'm preaching this morning on by the grace of God. He says down in verse 15, that verse 10, I'm sorry, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And I have only three things to say this morning, but there's lots in those three things, so I'm not sure if you're going to get out early or not. Anyway, I want you to know that the grace of God runs from the beginning of the Old Testament to the end of the New Testament. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord in Genesis 6, first guy, where it was stated as such. And then it runs all the way through Revelation 22, 21, where, you know, Jesus Christ bestows grace. So Noah's the first, and it runs all the way through to the end of Revelation. But I say this, the next guy after Noah to know anything about grace was a guy named Lot. And Lot stood there, having been delivered from Sodom and Gomorrah, and he said, you've given me thy grace, God's grace. And then Lot turns around and ruins the rest of his life. So, like I said, you need to have a deeper grasp of grace than the idea that it's just some, you know, the God's lottery that either falls in your lap good or falls in your lap bad. It's much more than that, and I'm out to show you that this morning. Hopefully I'm successful. But Moses found grace in God's sight as well, and then what followed that grace were these long trials of Israel throughout the wilderness. And so, again, grace is not just heavenly good luck. Now, again, the text, 1 Corinthians 15, 10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And I'll say this first, this is the first point. I want to say that's a great truth from Paul. You just heard a great truth from the lips of Paul, if you'd heard him speak physically, and from the pen of Paul, as you see it written here. It says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. By the grace of God, I am what I am. That is a great truth on several counts. First of all, here's Paul, and Paul was saved by grace. That's a great thing. I want to say that Paul had an extraordinary salvation testimony. In fact, you probably don't have a salvation testimony quite like his. I doubt you're going to tell me that you got knocked down by a bright light and you had that God speak to you personally and all those things. That's what happened to Paul. And it was an extraordinary action of grace. He saw Christ. By grace, he was called to be an apostle. By grace, he wrote 13 books of the New Testament. That's all by grace. And you say, oh yeah, that's just the divine lottery. That's Paul getting all the goods. After all, I never saw Jesus, but he saw him. Why couldn't I see Jesus? Well, why don't you take the rest of Paul's package then? Because the fact of the matter, Paul also suffered blindness from that incident and also suffered great disability from that incident. That flowed from the grace of God too. So before you start thinking of it as just, like I said, divine good luck, divine chance that God bestows upon you, it's a little more than that, and you should just be aware of it. So nonetheless, it is a great truth from Paul. The grace of God is not just good godly luck. Paul suffered more sorrows, more tears, more responsibilities. He bore more scars in his body than anybody that you know. And those things flowed from the grace of God as well. And so I just want to make sure that you know this is kind of a multi-faceted thing, and you better be careful sometimes what you wish for, and you shouldn't approach it superficially thinking that you have it all down if you think that the grace of God is just the sweets from heaven raining down around you, because it's a lot more than that. Now, I want to say that salvation, as I said this morning in church, now first of all, let's get this straight, there's salvation and then there's the rest of the Christian life, right? For by grace, the grace of God, for by grace are you saved, salvation through faith. There is no way to get saved but by faith. The grace of God allows you to get saved by faith. The grace of God offers you salvation by faith. That's the only way to get saved. Okay? And so that said, we're going to go on and talk some more about some more things of the grace of God. Because Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. He was the apostle to the Gentiles. He is a great man. He is our pattern. He is our example. Would to God we were all what he was in the sense of all that he could be and all that we should be. But the grace of God goes deeper than that, because I want to say the grace of God is not just something that gives you the heavenly goods by faith and for free. That is how you get salvation. But I want to say the grace of God goes deeper than that. I want to say that the grace of God is given to get you through trouble that you probably would not have gotten through without it. And that's a lot more than just believing on Christ to get saved. Let me show you what I mean with that. I want to take you to a little bit of Bible here. Like I said, I only have 3 points, and so you're not going to be here real long. But 2 Corinthians, real fast, 2 Corinthians 6. Please, everybody, turn. I want to show you this. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And I start with verse 1 because that's where you'll see that this starts. It says, we then as workers together with him, so Paul's working with God, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. There it is. So what follows is going to be about the grace of God. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now that verse 2 is all in a parenthesis. And so he's just mentioned the grace of God in verse 1, lest you receive the grace of God in vain. And then skipping the parenthesis to go on with the sentence in verse 3, giving no offense in anything that the ministry be not blamed. He's applying the grace of God to the ministry after somebody's saved. Now I just want you to see that for Paul, the grace of God was a lot more than just having the benefit and the privilege of seeing Jesus Christ face to face, getting knocked down the road to Damascus, and his salvation being much more dramatic than most of ours, because I just got saved on my knees as a kid, right? I didn't see anything, I didn't hear anything, right? Did you? Probably not. So what are you getting at? Well, the grace of God is more than just salvation by faith. For instance, Paul's talking about having the grace of God in the ministry, verse 4, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God in much patience. Oh boy, here it comes, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes. You mean getting beaten? Yeah, Paul got beat thrice, got beat a lot, bled a lot, hurt a lot, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, and fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor. He didn't just garner honors. He suffered dishonor. You ever suffered dishonor? How'd you get through it? Ungraciously, if you did, that's not grace. See, I'm saying you're saved by grace through faith, but the other side of it, and Paul makes plain here through several passages, that grace is something that gets you through something that you wouldn't have gotten through without it. You're never going to want to go through chemotherapy, right? I've known some folks that had horrific experiences in chemotherapy. I've heard no folks that had success in it. I also know folks that it killed. I don't want to have chemotherapy. Ever. Right? So how, dreading it so, will you get through chemotherapy if you have to have it? It'll be by the grace of God. Because the grace of God enables you to go through something that you wouldn't have gotten through. Okay? Now, I wanted you to see that opens up with the grace of God in 2 Corinthians 6. Just turn a couple pages to the right, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And Paul's talking about all the things that he's gone through. And you'll see in verse 9, Paul is complaining about his thorn in the flesh to the Lord and asking the Lord to remove it. I believe fully that it's blindness that came from his salvation. In other words, getting saved by faith, by grace through faith, Paul still suffered something during his salvation experience that followed him for the rest of his life and left him a blind man. See, how did he get through that? The grace of God. The grace of God is more than somebody bestowing the heavenly goods upon you, just falling out of the sky and showering around you. It's more than twinkle dust. It's God giving you the power to go through something that you wouldn't have gotten through. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice. I wanted to not be blind anymore, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, I'm sorry, I started in verse 8, but verse 9 now. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. It was the grace of God that allowed Paul to still persevere, even though he was blinded and would have done in his mind better as an apostle. Had he not been blind, he would have gotten to read. He would have gotten to write his own letters instead of having to hire somebody to do it. But the Lord said, no, my grace is going to have to suffice. So grace is a lot more than birthday cakes raining down around your ears. Right? It is. Now, keep rolling here. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm just trying to impress you with what Paul went through. And the Bible doesn't say that grace is involved in this, but it is. I'm saying you don't find grace in the passage. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm just trying to impress you with all that Paul went through. And it was the grace of God that got him through it, not just the grace of God that saved him. Verse 23, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, talking about his enemies. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, more whippings than I can remember. In prisons more frequent, and deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, saved one. 5 times, 39 stripes. Big dude in the back with a cat of nine tails. 5 times? That's enough to go through it once, don't you think? 5 times. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Oh man, there's 3 more beatings. Once was I stoned. Oh man, there's stoning. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. And journeyings often in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and in nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. I mean, on top of it all, the responsibility of the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory in the things which concern mine infirmities. You know why? Because with those infirmities that God laid on him came grace to get him through. I'm just trying to impress you with the fact that this is a great truth from Paul. He said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And it wasn't just about being saved. And it wasn't just about having seen Jesus with his own 2 eyes. It was also about the grace of God that came to him and through him that got him through some horrible things which none of us even have experienced. Okay, it's the grace of God like that. Now, it's also true not just with Paul but with other men. I won't be long with this. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 real fast since we're right in the area. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And notice this. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit. Here we go, of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. All the things they were going through, all of their afflictions, all of their troubles, yet in spite of all that, their joy led them out of their poverty to give liberally to somebody else that needed more help than them. How did that happen? By the grace of God. Okay? What I'm telling you is, you know, we've just grown so accustomed to quoting Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith. That's about salvation, and by grace you are saved through faith. But you need grace for a lot more than just salvation. you're going to need grace to get through some stuff. Someday, somebody in your family is going to die. And that's going to break your heart. And you're going to need the grace of God to get through it. Someday, you might just go through something in this country that would have shattered you before you're saved, before you had a relationship with God. And it'll be the grace of God that gets you through. And you're going to have to go through it. And you may bear the scars of it. So it's not just like the grace of God just showers cupcakes down on me. That's not what it is. It's way beyond that. Salvation's that way. It's given. But salvation's by grace through faith. And we're talking here about a scenario where the grace of God grants you victory. But the victory comes at a price. And you wouldn't have gotten the victory if God didn't give you the grace to go through it. There's a difference. Can you see it? Let me just show you one more, and then we'll move on to something else. I promise. 1 Peter. I don't want to skip this. In 1 Peter chapter 5, and just watch how this reads. I'm not just a woofing. This is not just some guy who's going off on a tangent. This is somebody standing in the perilous times of the last days, preaching to a bunch of folks whose country's falling in around their ears, and there's dissension all about, and liars are yelling stuff in your ears, as well as a little bit of truth, I suppose. And you're going to have to figure out how to deal with it, and it's going to take the grace of God to do it, and some of it's not going to be pretty. 1 Peter chapter 5, and I'm going to take you down to verse 5. Okay, now, so it starts, and this is always a great place to start. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Oh, good, submission, great. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. Oh boy, that's fun. Right? For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace. Oh, God giveth grace to certain people. Not the proud, but the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Oh, that's always fun. Well, that's not a cupcake falling from the sky. That's you by getting the grace of God, by humbling yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may be able to exalt you in due time. Now watch this. Casting all your care upon him. You know why? Because you have lots of cares. And he careth for you. And then he goes right into something more. Be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. Now how are you going to do that? I'll tell you up front, it's the grace of God. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us to his eternal glory. You see that? The God of all grace, who's called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after ye have suffered, oh boy, a while. The grace of God is going to call you to suffer for a while. And after he does so, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. At first, you feel like being panicked by the trouble. But then after prayer and reading and spending some time around brethren with maybe a little experience and more grace than you've got, you figure out that the Lord wants you to go through this. And though, so you take a big swallow and tighten your belt a notch, and the grace of God gets you through. See, that's more than heavenly bestowed luck. We can talk a little bit more about that in a minute, and we will. But Paul was what he was, not just because he was saved by faith. He was what he was by the grace of God, through a lot of trouble, and it was the grace of God that got him through the trouble. It was the grace of God that gave him the strength to go through the trouble. That's different than how most people think of grace. Today, in big churches, grace is just about liberty and me getting to do what I want to do. That's not what's being preached here. Let me take you back to 1 Corinthians 15. You're not going to have to turn much more after this at all. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And there's a bit more in that verse that we started with. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And this grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I, notice, I labored more abundantly. Would you notice that the grace of God involves labor? Getting saved does not involve labor. Because by grace are you saved through faith. Only faith. But boy, the grace of God that delivers a victory, the grace of God that delivers a battle to you that you're going through, takes more than just faith. It takes labor. It takes labor. Salvation makes the ground level at Calvary. And so, whether you're an American or a Haitian or a naked tribesman in South America somewhere, a cannibal in Africa stuffed away behind a mountain somewhere, you get saved the same way. But consecration is not that way. It's affected by things, and I wish that consecration was equal for all of us, but it's not. You get saved the same way by faith, by the grace of God. But, you know, when I got saved as a 10-year-old boy. I told you this morning, I'd never been addicted to cigarettes. I'd never been addicted to drugs. I'd never gambled in a day in my life. And so those are things that have not been a problem for me. And you all can't say that. Right? And so when it comes to getting saved, we got saved the same way. But when it comes to God delivering you a victory, you're going to have to work at it at a different level than I have to work at it. I have my own problems. But you're going to have the grace of God deliver you through your labor from those cancer sticks, from the drugs, right? From the gambling, from character flaws, from the habits that you formed in life where your mom and dad may have put up with more laziness than was right, and they may not have disciplined you so that now you're a 40-year-old that basically has no discipline in his life, and it's going to be harder for you to learn to pray and to learn to systematically read the Bible because you've never had that a day in your life. And so the ground is equal at Calvary for salvation, but the ground is not always equal for sanctification. I wish it was fair. I really do. I wish it was all the very same, but it's not. I grew up in a home with a mother and father that loved me. And they didn't, they spanked me, but they didn't beat me. I was not orphaned. Mom and Dad did die when I was fairly young, but I was an adult anyway. Y'all all can't say that. And so there are battles that the grace of God's going to have to deliver you through that He didn't have to deliver me through. Do you understand? The grace of God involves labor in winning a battle. I tell you what else it involves, if you'll just look at one more thing in this passage, verse 9, where Paul says this, and this is the verse preceding where he says, but by the grace of God I am what I am, and he says and mentions grace three times in verse 10. Verse 9, he says, for I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet. It's just not seemly. It just doesn't seem like I should be an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. Now, you know what that is? That's humility. I tell you what the grace of God will do for you. It'll make you humble. It should anyway. You don't deserve to be saved. You don't deserve to be saved by faith. I mean, you don't deserve to be saved, period. You deserve to go to hell. But the fact that it should be delivered to you by faith alone, that ought to be a humbling thing. And the fact of the matter is, you know, Paul said this about the humility. He said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He says, I am less than the least of all saints. And then that passage there that we just read, I'm not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. By the time the Lord's done with all of us at the rapture, we all show up at the judgment seat of Christ, we're going to all say, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And if you won any battles, and if the Lord brought you through anything, you're going to be saved, if you're saved. The fact of the matter is that it's going to be an humbling thing. You're not going to feel like sticking your chest out and flapping your wings, acting like you've accomplished something, because you accomplished exactly nothing. You're going to learn one day that it's the grace of God that gets you through. And there's labor to it, and there's humility in it. Now, that was a great truth from Paul. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And he wasn't just talking about saved. He was talking about victorious. He was talking about having come through things he didn't want to come through. Who would volunteer to go take 5 beatings with a scourge and then 3 more beatings with a rod? He didn't want to go through that, but God got him through. How? The grace of God. How are you going to defeat cigarettes? You're going to have to work at it, but it's the grace of God. In the end, you won't be able to say, that's my victory. No, you worked at it, but that's the Lord's victory. Because the fact is, you fell on your face. How many times was it already? You see what I'm saying? All right. So, that's a great truth by Paul. By the grace of God, I am what I am. Okay? Now, I want to point out a common misstatement by some, and I'll be shorter here. A common misstatement. If we're talking about by the grace of God this morning, there's a common misstatement. You've heard people say, there but by the grace of God go I. How many heard that ever? Only 3 of you? Okay, that's great. Because this is the center stone of my sermon. Somebody sees somebody in prison, or look up underneath the railroad threshold, trestled, and there's a dope addict up in there huddled. And we went out to Seattle a few years back to see Seth and Kaylin, and underneath all of those overpasses and even downtown, there's these entire cities of tent cities of druggies and homeless and just folks that you don't want to go hang out down there in your lawn chair. You know what I'm saying? And it's easy, and folks do. They say, oh, but there by the grace of God go I. And I want to warn you and say there is an element of truth to that. Usually there's an element of truth to it. And what I mean by an element of truth is that there are some things in our lives, and it's true of me, it's true of you, that are only attributable to the fact that God allowed you to enjoy it. For instance, none of you chose to be born in America. Now, I know what I'm going to say is controversial these days, but I'm glad to have been born in America. Because I tell you what, being born in America is better than being born in Haiti. And it's better than being born to one of those naked tribesmen as well. You know what I'm saying? You had no control over that. God allowed you to be born where you were born. Most of us have had our bellies full every day. That's the grace of God. That's true enough. Okay? I want to say that it's all true in the sense that, you back in the days when you could still go to the hospital to visit folks, you'd walk through the hospital ward, you'd walk through the pediatric ward and see little kids in there that were 3 and 4 years old that were, sick unto death. And there, but by the grace of God, go I. I've spent a couple of days in the hospital, but not many. And there's no reason that I shouldn't be stricken with cancer and laying up in a bed somewhere 3/4 gone. That's by the grace of God. Okay? So that much is true. I mean, like I said, I was born into a family that loved me. I've passed by, and as you have, car accidents on the freeway, and the car smashed up and they got the jaws of life out and there's blood, pouring out the bottom of the door. And there but by the grace of God go I, because maybe I wasn't texting and maybe they weren't either, but who couldn't have been smashed up but by the grace of God. Now, that much is true, but you need to think about what you're saying and applying it further. Because as far as looking up under that railroad trestle and seeing that washed out dope head at the very end of his rope, you know, probably not going to recover, who's lived up under there. He's got pneumonia now because he's been sleeping out in a Minnesota fall, you know, in the Minnesota fall or winter. And you look up in there, and if you say, "There, but by the grace of God, go I," you need to stop and consider that that's probably not the only reason you're up in there. Because you were probably born in a family that cared for you and didn't want you to wind up like that, and so they disciplined you and loved you and clothed you and fed you. And then there came a day that, you know, you had some buddies from junior high school and high school that were being idiots, and you decided you weren't going to partake with them. You made decisions. You made choices. Problem with somebody just saying, "Well, there but by the grace of God go I," that takes out of it your part. Because the fact of the matter is, you've had choices at times. You've made decisions at times that kept you out of that decision, out of that position. I'm getting somewhere here now, but listen, if I'm looking at a death row inmate in some state that has the capital punishment, I can say, "There but by the grace of God go I," and it might be true, but frankly, I've never done anything that deserved capital punishment in the judicial system. I'm not saying before God I'm not guilty. I'm saying that I made decisions not to kill the kid that I wanted to kill. Because I wanted to kill both of mine, all of mine, at one time or another. And I resisted. You say, that was the grace of God. Well, yeah, but it was my decision. It was my choice. You see what I'm saying? Okay. I haven't killed a cat in public so they can put me away. Because I made a right choice. I'm just, relax, okay? Eve had a choice. And I want to say, remember Lot now. Lot said, "I have found grace in thy sight, Lord. You got me out of Sodom and Gomorrah." Then he turned right around and messed up the rest of his life. Okay. Lot had a choice. Here is Israel in the wilderness. They do the same things. So what are you getting at? I'm saying the Bible gives you direction. It gives you instruction. And God gives you the grace to go through anything that it takes to obey the Bible. But you still have a choice to make. And the reason that I'm not tucked up under a railroad trestle tonight, a dope addict, is because I made made earlier decisions in my life that would keep me out of that position. That's not all the grace of God. I'm saying that it's a common misstatement by some that no matter what you see, but there by the grace of God, no I. No. You're conceding it all to God. You're expecting God to rain down everything on you, and you want nothing to be your fault. You don't want any of the responsibility. You're addicted to cigarettes today because you chose to. And that's the danger. Now, where I'm getting at with this is that this equals a battle. I'm visiting a guy in over at Lino Lakes right now, James, Brother James. He got saved in prison, and I appreciate it because I've seen him once, and we've written back and forth, and when his letters would arrive, my wife would say, "Wow, that guy has pretty writing." Her response, "He has pretty writing." I learned when I visited him that he went to prison not knowing how to read or write. And Now he's reading anything that he can get his hands on. He taught himself to read. And he taught himself to write in cursive. And his cursive writing looks like a lady's writing. It's so neat. It's so cute. See, what is that? Well, that's the grace of God. But that's a guy that took the responsibility of learning to read and write. And by the way, he took the responsibility of getting saved. And it's not just that, oh, woe is me. I've been stuffed in prison. And so, here I am. I guess I'll just, die a slow death here. No. It's the grace of God that gets him in a position now where he's a year from getting out and looking for a place to go to church. It's a big black guy about this wide. He says he's coming to church here because I was the only one that would return his letters. Imagine that. Say, what's the point? It's a common misstatement that ascribe to everything good or bad that happens to you in life as by the grace of God. There, but by the grace of God go I. No, if you're not rioting tonight, you're exercising the judgment not to do so. There's a difference. Here's Joseph, Old Testament Joseph. And there's stuff that happened to Joseph that he couldn't help. As far as I know, he couldn't help that his brethren hated him. That was his father's fault in large part. Okay? They sold him into slavery. They were going to kill him, but they decided to be gracious and sold him into slavery. Sold into slavery, Joseph winds up in Potiphar's house and then winds up, having all this responsibility in his house. Then he wound up having responsibility in prison. Then he wound up being second man in Egypt. Well, that was the grace of God. But brethren, sometimes the grace of God hands you a shovel and says, fill in the hole. See, I didn't dig the hole. Well, if you want out of the hole, you're going to have to fill it in. Just like that. It is a wicked world that we live in. It's run by wickedness, by spiritual principalities and powers, and there are wicked men and women. And everything has not gone as it should, as it could, as God would have it. But you right now have a country being torn apart because some folks think they're entitled to stuff automatically. It's like heavenly welfare. And I told you, God's been very gracious to me. I was born in a family that loved me. I got saved when I was 10. I never got addicted to cigarettes or booze or drugs. Okay. But I also made some right decisions along the way. And some of the folks that are under such burden and who are being exploited by other wicked men, they made bad decisions. And it's apparently become a habit because they're still making bad decisions. I'm not preaching politics. I'm just saying. The grace of God is more than me being born with a silver spoon in my mouth and a boatload of money to spend. Okay? It has to do with being given a chance to dig out of something that wasn't my fault. Like Joseph. By the grace of God, the Lord gives you a chance to get saved the same way as anybody else. No matter where you were born, with how little money, you may have been a fetal alcohol baby, I don't know. The Lord lets you get saved the same way as everybody else does. Okay? Then He gives you a Bible. He gives you a new master, Jesus Christ, and you get to choose whether you follow Him or not. And the Lord's going to bless you according to how you follow Him or not. He gives you choices. He gives you a chance to do right. He gives you the choice to crawl on a potter's wheel every day and let God shape you like He wants you. And frankly, the Lord's not going to shape you just exactly like He shaped me. I'm a pastor. Maybe you won't be. So He's not going to shape you just exactly like He shapes me. Right? But it's still the grace of God working in me or you, whether I have to overcome everything you have to overcome or not. Do you see? He promises grace so you can do what he said to do. So, great truth. By the grace of God, I am what I am. Often a misstatement. There but by the grace of God go I. No, you probably made some right decisions. You probably had a good friend or two that stood up and helped you make a right decision. Right? There's one last thing I want to say. I'm going to have you turn to one place and then we're done, all right? Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. You know it by heart. For by grace, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. All right? So, a lost guy winds up in hell. He's going to have to be honest. You know what he's going to have to say? Here I am in spite of the grace of God. Because the grace of God appeared to every man enough to get him on the right track so it would lead him to the gospel. And, I mean, by the grace of God, I'm saved. And by the grace of God, I've had a couple of victories because the Lord, by his grace, delivered them to me. Some were easy and some were hard. But as far as in being in hell and having to say, here I am, in spite of the grace of God, I'm never going to have to. And anybody that goes to hell is going to have to one day confess through their screams and through the torture, here I am, in spite of the grace of God. Because Jesus Christ died to save me. And I knew enough to get on the right track and follow the light until somebody presented me the gospel. Jesus Christ shed his blood and suffered for me just like he suffered for Kyle Stevens. And so here I am, in spite of the grace of God. If you're sitting here in church and you're lost, you've been here before, you've probably heard more than one salvation message. If you die and go to hell, you're going to have to bow your knee and say, here I am in spite of the grace of God. Because the Lord wanted to save you, and they tried to get word to you, and you wouldn't listen. So now I'm burning forever in spite of the grace of God. There's one little addendum to that for a Christian. Because that's also the lament of a defeated Christian. Somebody who got saved, knew to do right, was in a church, and was informed, like this morning, about the difference between standing and state and the fact that your sins were settled at Calvary, but one day you're going to have to go to the judgment seat of Christ and face the Lord who bought you. And you still wind up in a mess with no victories. You're still struggling with sins that the Lord wanted to bring you through, and you're going to have to say, well, here I am, in spite of the grace of God. Brother Stevens and the rest of the preachers that came in and the other churches that I went to, they told me, but I never went for the victory. I just let the grace of God sit, and I just yielded to my flesh every time. So, you know, think about, just in closing, remember all Joseph went through. Think about the difference of what might have happened to Joseph. Winds up second in command in Egypt. But what would have happened to Joseph if he started pilfering Potiphar's stuff? And then when the old bat shows up blinking her eyes, he said, why not? I wonder what might have happened to Joseph if, while in prison, he figured out a way to exploit some of that trust of the jailer so that he was getting stuff. Does anybody have any doubts that Joseph wouldn't have wound up where he wound up because of what he did with the grace of God, that God delivered him? And so it's very possible for a Christian to wind up at the judgment seat of Christ, saved, but he'll have to say, well, I am what I am. Defeated. No fruit. No rewards. Uninstructable. In spite of the grace of God. Because I flat sure had my chance. Right? Let's bow our heads and pray. Well, Father, I pray that you